May not always articulate it right, but I want to know when I stand back here, I have heard from God and I've been directed to speak to this people. And what we've been doing in this church is we're building a foundation. We're getting ourselves prepared for a move of the Holy Ghost. And I believe, folks, we're about to move into a great time of the Spirit. We're in the end time hour. I believe the prophetic clock of God is about to hit straight up midnight. And I believe it's about to be over. We're going to be required by God to put the pencil down, turn the test paper over, for the time is in. But right before this time, I believe we're about to see the greatest deluge of the Holy Ghost that this world has ever seen, or should I say that we have ever seen. I thank God for what I've read about in times of old, but folks, we're about to see the best has been saved for last. Hallelujah. I said the best has been saved for last. Just the other night as I was in prayer, I was seeking God for this church, and I was asking God to move and to pour out His Spirit here. And as I was praying, the Holy Spirit moved upon me. And tears began to stream down my eyes as He said to me, He said, "Son, I have called this church in Pierstown, the church at Pierstown Youth Center, to be a soul saving station." Hallelujah to the Lamb. I felt those words come in my heart. Church, God has called this church to be a soul saving station. I believe God is about to move in this church right here. He is preparing a people. He is preparing the hearts. He is laying the foundation, and the foundation is built upon this book. And the foundation's right, and the Spirit of God is going to be able to do His work in this church. He said to me, this church will be a lighthouse. This church will be a beacon to all the dark hearts out there. They will see and hear about what I'm doing in this church, and they will find their way here. They may come into this church, stumble in this church as drunk as a dark yard, as drunk as a junkyard dog, but thank God they may come in drunk, amen, but they're going to leave sober by the power of an almighty God. I'm talking about a God that's still doing the work. Hallelujah to the Lamb. They're going to come up off the streets. They may smell like marijuana. They may smell like the farm. But thank God, when they leave here, they're going to be robed in the robe of Christ. Hallelujah. Their righteousness is going to be covered up by His righteousness.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody shout.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, folks, thank God for what we've seen some good things in this church this year.
Thank you, Lord.
I've seen people come. I've seen hearts that were lukewarm are now on fire. Woo! Hallelujah. Those of you that was lukewarm at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, you're white hot. Hallelujah. That's shouting ground, folks. That means you're not regressing, you're progressing. Hallelujah. We've got a lot to praise the Lord about in this house tonight. Does anybody have something to shout about? Has anybody been set and touched by God? Has this year been a good year in the Spirit of God for you? Praise the Lord. And so I just felt like God would have me to tell you that church, this next year, if the Lord tarries, I know not that He shall, but if He does, this is going to be the greatest year of this church's history. Woo! Glory to God. I want to tell you, folks, He's saving the best for last. So I want to say to you, get ready. Get ready. Prepare your hearts. Prepare your lives for this end time outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the great book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. That is in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, right after the book of 1 Chronicles. And right before the book of Ezra. Between Ezra and 1 Chronicles, you'll find 2 Chronicles. Chapter number 7. When you find it, stand with me, please. Second Chronicles 7, verse number 1. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire of God from heaven came and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory had filled the Lord's house. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory filled the house, they bowed themselves to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped, praised the Lord, saying, He is good and His mercy endureth forever. I'm going to use tonight for a subject, the glory of the Lord filled the house. The glory of the Lord filled the house. Would you bow your heads tonight? Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray tonight that you would anoint the lips of clay, God, as we would endeavor to preach the Word of God. I pray that you would anoint their ears to hear, oh God, in Jesus' name, and their hearts to receive the good, great Word of God. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. You may be seated tonight in the house of the Lord. The glory of the Lord filled the house.
Thank you.
Now the building of this great temple must have been one more sight to behold, with all of Israel laying prostrate on the ground and King Solomon kneeling on the brazen platform with his hands lifted toward heaven. As he began to pray this prayer of dedication to the house of the Lord, or the temple that had just been completed. This temple was the only temple known to man in which the one true God resided and dwelled among His people. It was a task given to Solomon by his father David. It was to be a place of worship for the God of Israel. Now David had a vision in his heart. He wanted to build this great temple for God. But God, through the prophet Nathan, came to David and told David, No, sir, I will not allow you to build a temple for me because you've been a man of war. But I will allow your son Solomon, when you pass away, when you go to sleep and lay down with your fathers, David, there will be a son take your place, and his name is Solomon. And I will allow him to build a temple for my name. Hallelujah. To the Lamb. And so David built, he stored up all the materials that Solomon would need to build this great temple. Now you've got to understand, when David passed away, Solomon took his place. Solomon was around 16 years of age when he began to reign over all of Israel. And the Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, verse number 7 through 12, the Bible said that God came to Solomon by night, and God said to Solomon, Solomon, what would you have me to do for you?
Yes.
What can I give you to make life easier, Solomon, for you? And the Bible said, Solomon said to God, God, my father, we've been graced by your presence. You've allowed my father David to reign over your people. And now I found favor in your sight. You've let me reign over your people. I'm just a young man, God. I don't know a whole lot. Yeah. But if I found grace in your sight, this is one thing I ask. I ask that you will give me wisdom and knowledge that I may know how to lead this people. And the Bible said this speech pleased the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, the Bible said to God, said to Solomon, Solomon, because you didn't ask for riches and wealth and honor, and you didn't ask for me to destroy all of your enemies, I'm going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you knowledge, and I'm going to make you the richest man this world had ever seen. I'll give you rest from all of your enemies. Oh, church, I believe it do us well tonight to take some lessons from Solomon. Maybe we ought to quit asking God for all this material things and begin to ask have had the opportunity. He could have asked for anything. I mean anything. But he asked for wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks, 9 times out of 10, if God come to one of us, amen, the first thing we would ask for is money. But I want to tell you, why don't you quit asking for money and start asking God to give you a little bit of wisdom and knowledge. And I want to tell you, that would be worth more to you than all the money and gold this world has to offer. We need some wisdom. We need a little bit of knowledge that we can be directed by God and be guided by His Spirit. It takes wisdom of God to live in this world the way we ought to live in this world.
Amen to God. Amen. And amen.
Wisdom of God. And God gave him wisdom.
Amen.
And God gave him knowledge. I want wisdom and I want knowledge. I want to be able to open this great book that I hold in my hand, David. And I open the Word of God. I want God to be able to jump off these pages into my very spirit. Oh, I want to tell you, folks, if you'll give God a little time and you pray to Him before you open this book, it won't be Greek to you. You can open this book and the Spirit of God can move up off these pages and get down in your spirit. But I want to tell you, if you'll open the book, He'll show you His heart. He'll show you His will. And it comes from the pages of this book. God said, son, the Bible says Solomon's speech pleased the Lord. When he asked for wisdom and knowledge, it pleased the Lord. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want my speech to please God. Oh, come on, Shetamahaya. If you want to be a God pleaser, why don't you ask for some wisdom? Ask for a little knowledge. And say, God, I'm not a very bright man, didn't even finish high school. But if you'll help me understand this book, I'll live it, I'll tell it, I'll call it.
Your spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible said God granted him wisdom and God granted him knowledge. Solomon's temple was a massive project. It involved much work, much planning, and a lot of hard labor. A workforce of 30,000 people was employed in cutting timber, which came from the cedars of Lebanon. There were 80,000 cutters of stone and 70,000 other workers. Listen to me. These stones that were used to build the temple was not cut on the building site. These stones that were cut, that the temple were made out of, were cut 200 miles away. And the Bible said the sound of the hammer was never heard in that temple site. In other words, there was no ringing, no commotion going on in the temple site. All these stones that was made of this temple were cut to fit before they ever got to the temple site. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, folks, this. Every stone in that temple represents you and I. For the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, we are lively stones. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 21, In whom Christ, all the built and fitly framed together, grows up into a holy temple of the Lord. I'm telling you, folks, we've been cut to fit. Woo! I said we've been cut to fit. All these things, folks, I'm going to tell you, you don't tell God where you are going to be placed in this temple. He fashions you, He cuts you, He forms you, and He puts you in that temple exactly where He wants you to be.
Yes,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Bible said the sound of a hammer was never heard in that temple. In other words, there was no commotion. The house of God is to be a house of reverence. There's not to be a whole lot of commotion going on. I'm not talking about shouting. I'm talking about all this bickering and backbiting. There's not to be that going on in the temple of the living God. This is the house of God. And you ain't to be hammering on me. And I'm not to be hammering on you. If there's any hammering done, God doesn't. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I'm going to chisel you tonight. I'll get you fitting in that spot. But listen to me. These stones in this temple were placed what side by side? You know, you look at that Allen's house out there, that brick house. That one brick there doesn't say to the other brick, I don't want to fit here because I don't like being by this brick. Put me on the other side of the house. No way. So there's going to be times in this temple God may place you by somebody you don't particularly like.
That's right.
He does that so he can heal you of your problem.
That's right. Amen.
Because your problem won't fit in heaven.
That's right. No.
You have a hand. Oh, you're not hearing me. You got bitterness and strife against somebody. That is not going to take place in heaven.
No.
Oh, let me just tell you this. There's not going to be, if you don't like black folk, you're not going to heaven. Because heaven's going to be filled with black folk, white folk, pink folk, yellow folk. There's no prejudice in heaven. We're all precious in His sight.
Yes, we are.
I wish this church was filled with black men and white women and pink men and pink women. Oh God, give us some Hispanics. Give us some black men. Give us some white men. And we can all worship together and get washed in the blood of the Lamb and full of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
And I've come to know this little area appears just full of prejudice.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
You don't know how bad them black men are. I know what they're capable of. I know what that white man's capable of too. He's just as dirty as the black one if he's not been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
You say, where in the world does this fit at in the temple? It fits perfectly because you may be right next to a stone that's of a different color.
That's right.
And if you can't worship God with a stone of a different color, you might as well cancel your reservation in heaven because you're not going.
That's
right. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody, this is good preaching. Oh, God bless you, son. Hallelujah. I'll pat my own back tonight. I'm telling you, folks, it's time that we be true blue blood by Christians and allow us to come together in unity. Well, I'm glad I'm at my church. I don't know how good this message fits with the church down the road. So, the sound of the hammer was never heard in that temple. God cut these stones precisely, perfectly. Let me just stop and tell you this. You're fit perfect. You are being fashioned. You've been cut perfectly. And let me just tell you, I didn't design your life. I didn't plan your life. God orchestrated it. And guess who's the architect over you? God is the chief architect. He took over Shatamahaya. He fashioned me. He put me right where He put my life together. I've got issues. I know I do. But God knows I had them before He ever saved me. He's working on me. I'm not completely free yet. But if I keep walking on, He'll purify my clean issues. Amen. This right here.
Amen.
It's not a good time to look at your spouse. I'm moving right along. It took 7 years to complete this temple. 7 years to complete this temple. And by our inflated money dollars of today, it would cost $1 trillion to build that great temple. $1 trillion. That was the most costly building in the entirety of the world. And I would say to you, it was built for God to dwell in. It was built for God to live in. And church, I want to tell you, we don't go to Solomon's temple anymore, but we are that temple that God designed to dwell in. That holy power that dwelt behind them curtains in the Old Testament. It now dwells we've been designed for one purpose, to house God. Woo! Oh, you hearing me tonight? I've been on this planet for one reason. I'm here to contain the Creator. I'm a container of the Creator. Glory to God. I've been fit for perfection, for God to dwell with inside of me.
Help us, Jesus.
They didn't care how much money it took to build that temple. They built it for God to dwell in.
Yes, they did.
Folks, all the chiseling and all the working on us is for one purpose, for God to dwell in us. And church, don't you bear no expense building your life around God so God can be housed in you. $1 trillion to build this temple. The Bible says, as Solomon made the end of praying, with all Israel lying prostrate before the Lord, the burnt offerings prepared upon the altar, the Bible said the fire of God fell and consumed the burnt offering as well as the sacrifices, typifying what Jesus would do at Calvary. Listen to me now, friend. The fire that fell that day in 2 Chronicles 7 represented the judgment of God, which should have came on you and I, but because of the grace of God, it came on the sacrifice. Do you understand that we were damned to hell? We were damned for the judgment of God, but because they came a sacrifice, the judgment fell on the sacrifice instead of on us.
Praise
hallelujah. Thank God for the sacrifice. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He was the only sacrifice that would be accepted. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, as stated by John the Baptist. And with His sacrifice, He would completely redeem the lost sons of Adam's race. Listen to me. Thank God He purchased our souls off the auction block of sin. It would change the whole world, at least those that call upon His name. He led captivity captive. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He broke the grip of sin over our lives. We don't have to be bound by sin any longer. Why? Because of the sacrifice. Because He became the perfect offering for our sin. He redeemed you. He redeemed me off the auction block of sin.
God, praise God.
That word, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, that we were redeemed. That word redeemed there meant just as a slave was laid on an auction block to be destroyed. Somebody, for that slave that stole something from his master, the only thing that could keep that slave alive was for somebody to redeem him.
Yeah.
And we were all sold to slavery by what Adam did. We were all sinners by nature, born into this world of sin. And we were laid on the auction block. We were doomed for eternity without God. But I want to tell you, there came one, Hallelujah, Shatamahaya, who redeemed us off the auction block. I said He redeemed you and I off the auction block. It wasn't because we were good. We weren't good. No, no, no. There's no good but God. But God loved the world so much, and God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to tell you, you ought to be praising God about right now. He bought you off the auction block. He frees you. He redeems you by the power of His grace. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name.
That fire came and consumed the sacrifice. That fire could have well just came and consumed the people. But instead, it consumed the sacrifice. Listen to me. The only thing that stands between you and judgment is the sacrifice. Oh, you're not hearing me. I said the only thing that stands between you and the judgment of God is the sacrifice. You ought to wake up every morning and give Jesus a good hearted shout. Oh, thank you, Lord, for redeeming me Thank you before becoming the sacrifice. I was doomed for hell. I was doomed to spend eternity in the devil's hell. But because you love me, because you care, you came and became the perfect sin offering.
Praise God.
And I remind you that when they brought Jesus into Pilate's hall, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back to Pilate. And finally, Pilate said, what would you have me do? Talking to the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of Israel. Listen, he said, what would you? He said, crucify. Listen to me. And the Bible said that Pilate turned him over to them, to the religious leaders. Now listen to me. If Pilate would have gave the command for him to be killed, it would have been an execution. But because he turned him over to the religious leaders, then it became a sacrifice. If it had been an execution, it would have done no good. It had to be a sacrifice. Just as those priests led that little lamb to that altar to crucify and to kill that little lamb, to cut its neck and lay him on that altar. And the high priest then took, listen to me, the same time, you've got to understand how great this is. This was during Passover. This is during the week that they killed the Passover. At the same time, at 9 a.m. in the morning, at the same time that religious leaders was crucifying a physical lamb on an altar, they were nailing Jesus to the tree. The same time, he became the sacrifice. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen.
6 hours later, 3 o'clock. See, the Bible talks about a morning and evening sacrifice. Every morning and every day from the entirety of the Old Testament and up to Jesus fulfilled it in the New. And they even do it to this present day. At 9 a.m. they would offer a sacrifice, and at 3 a.m. they would offer a sacrifice. Jesus was nailed on the tree at 9 a.m. 6 hours later, at 3 a.m., the time of the evening sacrifice, he cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, the box of Bethany, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that time, a darkness covered the world. I'm talking about a darkness. You ain't never seen darkness. It was so dark that God wasn't able to see from heaven down to earth because his son was on the tree bearing the weight of this world. God, it was a darkness like you've never seen. God had to do it that. He couldn't, if he would have saw his son there, he would have done what any father would have done. He annihilated the whole race, but he covered the world in darkness as he was dying there. Amen. Took his last breath. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said, it is finished. The greatest three words that ever been recorded from a human lip. It is finished. Oh, thank God. It's a closed book, my friend. You can be healed. You can be set free. You can go free. You don't have to be bound no longer because he became a sacrifice.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
It doesn't matter, my friend, what you've done or what you haven't done. It doesn't even matter how big of a mess you've made of your life. There is nothing that can stop the love of God. I said, there's nothing that can stop the love of God. He laid down his life for you to save you, to free you, to deliver you, and to restore you and to heal you. All you've got to do is say yes to Jesus.
Yes, amen.
At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith that I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Hallelujah for the cross. I said, thank God for the cross. Somebody ought to be shouting about right now. Ain't you glad? At the cross, at the cross, at the cross. my life was so dirty and black and foul as could be. But nobody wanted to be around. I found what I was looking for at the cross. I didn't find it in a bar. I didn't find it in a drug house. I didn't find it in a prostitute house. I found it at the cross. I want to tell you, you can search this world over, but you're not going to find joy until you find it first at the cross. It's the only place it can be found. Your happiness, it can't be found in money. It can't be found in women. It can't be found in the bottom of a bottle, but it can be found at the cross.
Yes, it can.
And only at the cross. The Bible said after the sacrifices was consumed, the Bible said the glory of the Lord filled the house. That glory that filled that house was a sign to all of Israel that the sacrifice had been accepted. Woo! What are you saying, preacher? Oh, hold on just a minute. I'm feeling what I'm preaching right now, Pops. I'm telling you, that glory that filled that house was a sign to all of Israel that the, amen, that God accepted the sacrifice. Well, I got news for you, church, that Jesus died that day on Calvary. But 50 days later, the glory of God came in the person of the Holy Spirit to let the world know, to let the church know that God has accepted the sacrifice. Oh, glory to God. The person of the Holy Spirit filled that upper room, telling you and I that God Almighty has accepted the blood. We ought to shout. We ought to shout. We ought to shout because He has accepted the sacrifice. The fire came, 2 Chronicles 7:1, on the sacrifice. The judgment came that day on Jesus at Calvary. Now the fire comes in the form of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the believers. He has accepted the sacrifice.
Amen. Glory.
All through the Old Testament, you'll find when God has sent fire on the sacrifice. You'll find it in Genesis 4:4. You'll find it in Genesis 15:7. You'll find it in 1 Kings 18:29, somewhere on that line. You'll find the fire of God in 2 Chronicles 7:1. What are you saying? I'm telling you is this. The fire will come on a sacrifice and only on the sacrifice. Well, preacher, don't you know? We don't offer bulls and goats anymore. I know that is right. That's why Paul said and Romans 12:1. But I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What are you saying? I'm saying this. If you're void and dry and you got no fire, why don't you become a sacrifice? Lay it on the altar and allow God to consume your sacrifice. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Oh, blessed be the Lord.
Fire doesn't fall on empty altars. It only falls on sacrifices.
Yeah.
I'm going to preach a message one of these days called, Where's the Sacrifice? Don't you ever preach on anything else? No, sir. What are you doing here? I'm building a foundation. I'm building a foundation for what? A move of the Holy Ghost. I said a move of the Holy Ghost.
And thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise Listen, I'm getting ahead of myself. The strength of the church is built on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you're taking notes, you need to write that down. Jot it down there. The strength of the church is built on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us of the staggering amount of sacrifices that Solomon offered to the Lord that day. So staggering that the brook Kedron, which ran between, that ran between the Mount Olives and the temple site, and between Mount Olives, where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the temple site, ran a brook called Kedron. Get this picture in your mind. Over here was the Mount of Olives. On this side was the temple site. And right in between there was a river called Kidron. And they sacrificed that day 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep for sacrifice. And they say that whole river between those two places ran red. Amen. With the blood that was shed that day. What are you saying? Solomon was telling Israel. Israel, do you see this river? How it's running red with blood. I want you to know, Israel, that the blessing and the strength of Israel is not in her military might, but it's in that red crimson flow flowing down the middle of that river. And I would say to you, church, the blessing and the strength of the church is not found in man's fast. It's not found in a book. But it's not, let me say, it may be found in the book, but it's in the blood of Calvary's cleansing flow. That's the strength of the church.
Amen.
The strength of the church is not found in military might. It's not found in, amen, all the schemes and fads that man could come up with. Listen to me. The reason why the modern church of today is coming up with new fads and gimmicks and all the ideology of man is because they've got away from the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I said they've got away from the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit only comes on the blood. What do you mean, preacher? 2 Kings chapter 2. God told Jehoshaphat to build a valley. See, they were encamped by the enemies. The enemies shut off all the water supply. And they were thirsty. The army was thirsty. And God said, tell you people to make this valley full of ditches.
Yeah.
So they began to make a valley full of ditches. And that night, where they were at, never rained a drop. But when they woke up that next morning, that ditch that they made was full of water.
Yeah.
They drunk out of it. They refreshed themselves out of it. But the people, their enemies, looked at that same water and saw it as blood. And they began to go into confusion. They thought Israel done come in and killed everybody. And so they ran away. I want to tell you, you stay close to Jesus. Amen. All that enemy's going to see is the blood. Get back to the blood, church. Get back to the blood. This church is going to have a foundation on the blood of the Lamb. And that's why I know the Holy Spirit will come.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
The foundation of the church is Christ.
That's right.
The foundation of this church will be Christ. And we're going to preach the blood. We're going to preach the Bible. And we're going to build this church on that foundation. Amen. If you build a church on any other foundation, you will have a faulty foundation.
That's right.
I'm not very bright. I know that. I'm not a carpenter. I'm not a mason. I can't do none of them things. But I do know this much. I've laid just a little bit of concrete back in the day. When I was around 24. I worked with a guy, and we laid a few foundations. And I do know this, if that foundation is not right, if it's weak, that house ain't going to stand.
No.
That's why that foundation's got to be solid. That's why we placed iron in that concrete. We placed iron rods in that concrete, wire rods. Why? To make that concrete stronger. Well, I got news for you. We got an iron rod. And it's the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. We're building this church on the ironclad of the word of Almighty God. And let the storms come. Let the billows roll. But we're not going to be shaken. We may blow side to side. But because we're founded on the word of God and the power of the blood of the Lamb, we will stand.
Amen.
And we will have a move of God.
Praise God.
The Bible said when all the sacrifices was done and the blood was a-flowing, glory filled the temple.
Yeah.
I believe God wants to fill this house with the glory of God.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Folks, we've been having services here this last several months. Powerful services. People getting saved. People being delivered. Hearts being renewed. Lukewarmness gone. Replaced by the fire of God.
Praise God.
And this is only the beginning. This next year, we're moving into a new year. If the Lord tarries, we're not at the end of this one yet, but if the Lord tarries, this next year, this church, and those of you that come here, we're going to fast as a church family. We're going to have prayer meetings once a month or something at this church to start with. But we're going to go on fast together. I believe we ought to move this first year, go into this year with a fast. Sometime in January, I think we ought to have a 7-day fast. We're going to get a sheet, and we're all going to take one day apiece to equal 7 days. Two or three of us may fast on the same day, but we're going to write it down. We're going to keep each other accountable. Why, preacher, don't say that. That's a curse word. I'm telling you, folks, it's time. The Bible said this kind comes out not by prayer and by fasting. Wow. We're not just dealing with little bitty demons anymore. We're dealing with this kind. Are you hearing me? I believe there's going to be some demonized men and women come through those doors, and they need to come to a church that's been a fasting, that's been a praying, that is ready to meet the devil head on.
Amen. Praise God.
Lord, Jesus, I'm getting on another sermon, I know, but I'm closing. I'll come on to the piano. Jesus and the disciples, Peter, James, and John, was on the mountain. I mean, God was shining through Jesus. He was transfigured before them. While they were up there having a glorious time, Jesus, James, John, and Peter, the other disciples were down in the valley trying to cast the devil out of the poor boy. They wasn't able to do it. When Jesus came off that mountain, that boy, that man brought that son to Jesus and said, "Jesus, can you help me?" He said, "I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cast him out." How many times have people brought people to the church, but we couldn't help them none?
That's right.
And Jesus said, "How long will I suffer you? How long will I be with you? Oh, faith, bring him hither to me." Oh, I'm telling you, church, you know what Jesus said after he cast the devil out? The disciples said, "Lord, why could not we cast him out?" First thing Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." Then he went on to say that this kind comes out not by prayer and fasting. In other words, what he's saying, he said, "Boys, the other day you healed a few headaches, you healed a few sicknesses, cast out a few small demons, but today the devil raised the bar on you." I believe if he raised the bar on us, then we ought to raise the bar back on him.
Amen.
See, folks, this end time hour is going to require that we do things we've not done before.
Praise God.
Fast, pray, seek God. Study this book more than we've ever studied this book. For a home to be filled of God. I love the glory that I feel here. But I want my home to have that atmosphere. I'm not telling you we've got it yet. But I'm telling you we're going to do our best to make our home suitable. When people come in, they feel the presence of God.
Amen.
They don't just feel contention and strife and bitterness and envy. I know a person, I'm closing. Her name was Sister Heffley. What's her, Chuck's mom's name? Anyway, there's a lady down in Russellville, Sister Heffley. I don't know what it is about her house. And every time I walk in, I just get sleepy as a dog. There's this peace in that house. I walk in, I just sit down and I just go right to sleep.
Joanne.
There's a peace in that home. There's a presence in that home. There's no strife there. There's just a peace there. And that's where our homes ought to be. When our unsafe family come over, they ought to feel the peace and the love of God. They live in a world that's chaotic. They live in a home that's just tore apart. Then when they come to our homes, they ought to feel the glory of God. Listen to me. For the glory to stay in the church, it must abide in our homes as well. Because we're not here as much as we are there. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you tonight for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We pray tonight, God, that you would meet these needs of this people. Lord, that the glory of God would fill this temple tonight. Not just this physical house, but these physical bodies. May the glory of the Lord fill this place and fill our hearts. Those of you that are ready to go beyond the norm and move into a realm that you never walked in, of dedication and commitment, and you're ready to become the sacrifice to which the fire comes and consumes. I want you to come tonight to this altar. Come tonight and say, God, that's me. I'm your sacrifice. I want you to burn me now with your holy fire. Consume anything of me that's not of you. Come now. Come to this altar. Let's get closer to God than we've ever been. Oh, hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Thank you for the cross.